Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
I hate that song.
Greetings. Welcome inside the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Oh!
Live from the Geico Studios.
Today's Friday.
On Ruth Bader Ginsburg Appreciation Night, the notorious RBG. Of course, the biggest news in the world, a Supreme Court justice passing away at the age of 87 earlier today. And I'll tell you, Mike, you know, of all the things people are talking about her life, an incredible life that she had, I still look at the videos of her working out, lifting weights, you know, and you're in your late 80s and you're trying to stay healthy and you're pumping iron like it's Rocky getting ready to fight Drago. I mean, that's some kind of, I keep watching those videos going, I hope I could do that when I'm 85. I hope I could do that when I'm 50. I hope I could do that when I'm 85.
Well, I hope you can do that when you're 55. Listen, the tenacity and you, the fact that you pick up on that video, because that's made its way into a lot of the quick edits, right? Of here's 3 minutes on Ruth Bader Ginsburg for use on the internet, whatever, is that finds its way in, just kind of showing, despite battling cancer and several times during her life and ultimately here at age 87, that still, all right, got to be fit, got to keep fighting, got to keep pushing through, nothing's going to stop me. That, you know, that message bleeds through no matter which side of the aisle you're on, and obviously there's a lot of political stuff that falls out of this going forward, but you know, you appreciate for the day how much she put forward. I mean, she was the commencement speaker for my brother's graduation at Northwestern all those years ago. Yeah, so you know, just thinking of the life well lived and having an impact, and that's something we should all aspire to.
Tell you, she had a life of breaking glass ceilings, and it was achievements being told after being told this is not going to happen. She graduated first in her law class from Columbia and went on her first interview and was told, yeah, I can't hire you. You're a woman. I mean, this is 1960. Yeah. She was first in her class at Columbia. That's like me being the best quarterback in Florida and the NFL going, yeah, we don't like the way you roll out to the left and throw off your back foot. So, yeah, I think you might want to go play in the XFL.
Yeah, but at least there was a history of bad quarterbacks out of Florida not making it in the NFL.
Yeah, so. That is true. Well, there's a history of bad quarterbacks in a lot of play. I didn't say Syracuse.
But,
I mean, you know,
but you picked Florida. And now you got the Tebow people mad again. We had that to start the week with Jason Cole, and now you have this. I mean, look what you're doing.
It's not like I wrote a book and put Tebow in it and have everybody. Nah, that's not me. That's news we just talked about. That's what's going on. Rest in peace, Ruth Bader Ginsburg. A phenomenal life. And hopefully, as Mike said, look, obviously it's already become extremely political. Her death announcement has already been met with what's happening next and her void on the Supreme Court. I just hope that everybody can take a few minutes and reflect on the life she had, because she's not going to get it in coverage. It's not going to happen. The way the news is and what we're going towards, we're not going to get a chance. I hope everybody gets an opportunity for just a few minutes to look at everything she was able to do over the course of her career, serving the country for over 50 years. And you can learn what it means to achieve dreams and overcome obstacles and reach heights that nobody ever thought you would get to. Ruth Bader Ginsburg passing away today at the age of 87. But our business is sports, of course, and since the Mets are losing 14-2, start with Mike Harmon's Nuggets right now. 3:49 before halftime, and the Nuggets, who Mike picked to go to the NBA Finals.
Yeah, I did.
Shockingly, here they are in the West Finals and getting a little bit of their confidence back under them as the Lakers boat race them to start the second quarter. The Lakers still with a big lead, 61-49, just under 3.5 left to go. It's been a huge first half from Anthony Davis and LeBron James. Dwight Howard is rejecting shots and hanging out in huddles when he shouldn't be. It looks like Dwight Howard's like, you know, the 10 years ago Dwight Howard. But the Nuggets clearly have stopped the backslide on a little bit of a run the past couple of minutes. And the bad news for the Lakers is Jamal Murray's got 15. So I told you the key, you got to hold down Jamal Murray, and Jamal Murray is not being held down right now. But for the Lakers, Jokic was on the bench. He's got three fouls. Murray also has three fouls. So the whistles keeping the Nuggets at bay as well a little bit here too.
Number of turnovers, but also some whistles. I mean, you mentioned Nikola Jokic, a couple of fouls on screens. Jamal Murray picked up a technical foul after being salty. He was being manhandled on a double team. You know, the old, I'm going to slap down on you, but I don't actually grab you. And he finally got frustrated and cursed out the official and drew the technical foul. So you have that. He's also been trucked by LeBron James multiple times in this first half. So he's going to need a little blue emu when it's all said and done from absorbing those big hits coming to the rack. But they absorb the big shots, down 12, as we've seen throughout the playoffs. No matter who has a 12-plus point lead, it is not insurmountable. A little bit of a run and some hot shooting and some wide open looks for the Nuggets. I think that's the concerning part, right? The people not named Murray that get an open look, you got to take full advantage because the Lakers are slumping off a bit and you got to make them pay. Thus far, they have not.
Yeah, the big thing for the Lakers here, you know, you expect Anthony Davis and LeBron James to have big nights, and they are. But already the Laker bench is really coming through. You got six each from Morris and Kuzma. You have Caruso with five. You have Dwight Howard now with five. He's been extremely active. Been to the free throw line eight times. Dwight Howard, it's like it's 2011 again. I'm just going to the free throw. So it's been everything the Lakers have wanted to do, you would hope the Lakers would do to win this game. The Lakers are doing. The Nuggets are trying to hang around until they figure things out, and hopefully things get better for them in the second half. But we'll keep you updated on this throughout the night. Of course, the biggest story, 63-49, Lakers with the lead over Denver. Still 3 minutes to go in the second quarter before halftime. Meanwhile, speaking of NBA, in a landslide, and you won in a landslide, in a landslide vote.
Brought you down.
See, I was doing landslide from Hamilton. In a landslide. All right. I think that's it for landslides. Is that all our landslide references? I think that's it, right?
I only got that one. Yeah. Okay. And you had the others, so.
Giannis wins his second straight NBA MVP award, and this was announced earlier on Friday. Look, Steph Curry, LeBron, Steve Nash, Duncan, Jordan, Magic Johnson, the list of back-to-back MVPs is a who's who of NBA Hall of Famers. Antetokounmpo gets 85 of 101 first place votes, and it wasn't really close. LeBron James got the other first place votes and finished a distant second place to Giannis. James Harden was third. Then Luka Doncic was fourth, and then from the Knicks. So that was your top finishes for the MVP. And already today, I've seen a lot of, well, LeBron's the MVP. And you know what? Just got to stop for a second. Giannis was the MVP. He had the best season. I understand that you can stand up and say, no, no, this is not tainted at all by what happened in the playoffs and where LeBron. No, no, of course it is. Of course it's tainted because at the end of the regular season, there was one clear choice for MVP, and it was Giannis. Look, if it's, you're saying between Giannis and LeBron had a fantastic year, right? He reinvents himself as distributing point guard and still someone who can score 40. Not many guys can do that when you're 34, 35 years old. It was something for LeBron. But LeBron puts these numbers up in his assist. He's got Anthony Davis playing with him. And there's a little bit of a difference between Anthony Davis and Chris Middleton. All right. I mean, as good as Chris Middleton is, he's a really good number two player. And that was, he had a really good year. You're talking about an all-star player. There's a difference when, okay, you are working a two-man game with Anthony Davis and Greek Freak is the one guy and he's working a one and somebody below me in Chris Middleton, where you can argue LeBron and AD were co-number ones on the team. So if you're telling me, so if you say that, okay, here's a guy, who's the best player on the team? Who's the most important player? And that's a toss-up? You can't tell me that one of those players is the MVP over Giannis, because Giannis did it as the one. He had his team at the top of the Eastern Conference. They were there all season long. You're talking about splitting hairs between Giannis and LeBron. Just because Giannis stunk in the playoffs, just because he got knocked out, doesn't mean he's not the MVP. Because still, you got to remember, it's a regular season award, but right now everybody is tainted by, well, look how good LeBron's been in the playoffs. Look how bad Giannis has been. But still, for this time, Giannis is the MVP. He's the NBA's Peyton Manning. He gives you that one one great level of excellence, whether it's the playoffs, regular season, and then in the playoffs when his regular level of excellence isn't enough, he's got to show he's got to have another level. But in the regular season, his excellence is unmatched. He deserves to be second straight MVP in the NBA.
Monster numbers, defensive player of the year. For a good chunk of the season, you could argue that Brook Lopez was their best, second best player. Good player, solid player, veteran, no question. Not another superstar. And you watched how they worked through and deride the Eastern Conference all you want. You know, the one thing that you take away from this is eventually, and I have no doubt that this will be the case, I think I've heard it mentioned a couple of times over the course of the day, that eventually he'll stop getting regular season MVP votes because of the playoff failures. Just, you know, human nature.
Yeah.
Say, well, how valuable is he? He keeps losing. So you'll have that come into play most likely as well. But there's no denying the impact and utter dominance that he had over the course of the regular season. And trying to diminish that by the playoffs, it's just bad business. Talking about LeBron James, and everybody wants to bring up he's in year 17. Here's his age. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, to quote The Rock. That's not part of it. Degree of difficulty based on your age and past injury history is not part of the consideration of MVP. Doesn't mean you can't get the sentimentality of a couple of voters along the way, but to try to claim that that's a reason that he should have been hoisting a trophy, you know what? Let him go try to host the other one. You know what? This is Giannis's year. He's the guy right now. And now he's in the recruiting phase of the offseason. Hopefully he did some good work in the bubble.
Yeah, look, and I agree that that's where it's going to be in the future. Now, next year, if Giannis has a great year, voters are going to go, he got me once. He got me once with a big playoff failure. But, okay, this is the year we vote again. No. Now it's twice. It hasn't happened. And that's where votes will get siphoned off and go to the next new shiny new toy,
yeah.
Whether it's Donovan Mitchell or Jamal Murray or whoever it's going to be. Okay, now we've seen him for a couple of years. Now it's time for somebody else to go win. And, you know, that's where it's really going to get him is, okay, next year, I don't care how good he is, I'm not voting for the guy for MVP because I just watched his team fail in the playoffs twice when clearly they had the best team to get to the NBA Finals and they didn't do it. So that's where it's going to hurt for him. You know, the big thing for Giannis is that, you know, all of the attention, okay, now he's the MVP, and now what happens next, right? All this of we're going to spend all money to keep you and stay in Milwaukee, and what's next for him, because he's got to decide whether he wants to sign an extension or play out next year in free agency, and then hit the free agent market, and it'll be like a Kevin Durant-type scenario where he's out visiting everybody. We're wondering, Knicks, where he could go, who might sign him, Knicks, you don't know. Here's the thing, is Milwaukee can sit around and say, we'll spend the money, we'll bring whatever we need to surround you with talent all you want. But the bottom line is this. Number one is that the NBA, when you get to the elite of the elite, it's a year-to-year situation right now. None of the best of the best players sign for 7 or 8 years. That's not happening. Everybody does 1 or 2 year deals so they can move on if they have to and they can go someplace else. The best thing Milwaukee's going to get is say, okay, 1 year and give me the maximum, which will be $40 million, and then we're at this thing again next year. Because no matter what, and Milwaukee can say, Giannis is not going to sign that kind of long-term deal in Milwaukee. He's not going to sit back and say, okay, I'm here, and think that Milwaukee is going to attract free agents that are going to come play with him. They're not. All right. Even if Giannis is, he's got an 8-year deal. Who's going to play in Milwaukee? All right. Nobody is. It's not LA. It's not Miami. It's not San Francisco. And well, really Oakland, but San Francisco. It's not one of the big markets, which is where people go to go team up and spend a few years to go. It's still Milwaukee. The players you're going to get are going to be Eric Bledsoe's and Dante DiVincenzo's. You're just going to rearrange the support cast for one guy who's interchangeable with another guy. So I don't see how Milwaukee can do anything other than, well, we can offer him a year at a time until eventually he decides, okay, I'm going to go someplace else. I think the whole sign long-term and we're going to get players to go around you, I think that's an argument that just doesn't hold water for anything, because that's not reality of the NBA anymore. I mean, maybe a few years ago it was, but it's not the reality. Guys stay for a year or two, they'll say, I'll go free, and then I'm going to try to leave it open so I can go someplace else.
Well, short open-ended deals, right? With the salary cap having gone up repeatedly, well, it's just good business. Not to mention keep your options open if the team goes south, gets old, or the young developmental players all fail, right? So, I mean, there's a million of those things that come into play. You do have an effective income tax rate of 3.56%. That is fairly high on the nation's scale. Think about that. That's 42nd lowest. And I sit here in California as the politicians think about, 15% and stuff going forward. But before my blood starts to boil, I'll also say this. You can have cheese curds. You can no longer have the Tommy Bartlett water show in the Wisconsin Dells. They announced they're closing forever. I know you can still get some duck boat rides and a lot of cheese curds. That's really what Wisconsin offers you.
Well, I would sign anywhere just for the cheese curds. Yeah, I forget about the duck boat ride. You're going to give me cheese curds, I'll have cheese curds. I mean, that's all I need is cheese curds.
It's been a while since we've been able to share a big order of cheese curds.
Yeah, look, the best thing that you can look at if you're Milwaukee is you get him to say, okay, I'll stay for one more year. I'll do one more year and then we'll see. And even that's far-fetched because he knows that if I'm going to play somewhere and win championships and my legacy is important to me, am I going to get the help I need in Milwaukee? Or do I need to say, okay, let's you and I and let's all go to the Knicks or let's all go. I keep saying the Knicks. Maybe I'll go play in Golden State. Maybe I'll go play some. I'll go find someplace else to go where I can wind up playing and winning championships because I got to go team up with somebody. Best case scenario they're going to wind up getting is going to be a year, but more likely he'll play and then it will be, okay, I'm going to go look to go someplace else. That's just kind of how things go.
Yeah, the Warriors are in San Francisco now, buddy. They were
right, I know, Oakland. But I just said Oakland for the fun thing.
I mean, they may live in Oakland because it's cheaper. Yeah. But
right. No,
but
no.
You
but
cross
I did,
that bridge every day, that'd be a pain in the ass.
I was doing the whole Simpsons thing of when they were stuck in the water and they goes, oh, where do we go? San Francisco. It was all the lights and Homer goes, let's swim to Oakland. And it was all just like industrial parks and dark.
The docks and everything. Yep. You got a big couple of big ports right there too.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets Swollen Dome. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Geico Studios. With Jokic and Murray on the bench with three fouls, things have gotten better for the Nuggets. The Lakers' lead is down to 10, make it 11 at halftime, 70-59. The game has just gone to halftime, so the Lakers were out with a big lead. It's still big, but it's now manageable for the Nuggets in the second half. They did it without Jokic, without Murray, in foul trouble. 70-59 at halftime, the Lakers' first half. Absolutely on fire. We'll keep you posted on this. Coming up, we got so much NFL to get to here on the show. Indeed knows that for any business, the most important step is the next one, like hiring someone who can make a real impact. Indeed helps you find high-impact hires fast without any long-term contracts and with more efficient use of your budget thanks to their super flexible payment options. So take that next step with Indeed, who's giving you a free $75 credit for your first sponsored job post so you can get in front of more quality candidates fast. Go to Indeed.com/high impact. Terms and conditions, they apply. Straight ahead, what is next this big weekend in the NFL? What teams can't go to 0-2? Odell Beckham still on the trading block. Why you got to be worried about Tom Brady? Keep it right here, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon, live from the Geico Studios. Lakers thumping the Nuggets 118-93 in Game 1 of the West Finals. I'm feeling pretty good about my Lakers in 5 prediction. Nikola Jokic just picked up his 5th foul. That one he kind of earned. And there was an earlier foul he kind of got away with, but it really isn't going to matter because the Lakers are just out everythinging the Nuggets, right? That's a word, right? Out everythinging.
I can say that.
Out everythinging.
Come on, they go to lob the ball to Porter. He can't even catch it for the flush. That's the kind of night it is. Just stop the fight. Throw the towel. Smile at the referees and go away.
Well, the Lakers will smile at the referees tonight. 118-93 is the score. Still 5 minutes left to go. It's 37-10 for AD. Meanwhile, both Jokic and Murray with 21 apiece for the Nuggets. But this game has never really been close. You know, usually in NBA games, especially, you get to the point where, all right, there's going to be some kind of run. You know, the Nuggets had a little mini run with Jokic and Murray on the bench and a little bit of foul trouble in the second quarter, and they got to within 10, but the Lakers, I mean, they came out in the third quarter. The one thing you can say is that, look, you watch the Lakers in transition, and the Nuggets are looking around like they're playing the Globetrotters. You know, it's everywhere you go, the ball is moving, and the Nuggets are like, they're like Hollywood and Wolfman from Top Gun. Where'd he go? Where'd who go? I mean, that's what it's like watching the Nuggets tonight, because they clearly get lost. The Lakers are running up and down the floor. Yes, you can talk about the officiating, but really, it's been all Lakers from the jump, and even if the officiating was a little bit more in the Nuggets lane or more Nuggets leaning, this is still a big Laker lead over Denver in the fourth.
Wow.
Quarter.
You were starting to talk like it was the holiday season. You were going to go down Nuggets lane.
It's the holiday season. It's the holiday season. So we'll keep you posted on this. We got Rick Bucher going to stop by after the game is over as we talk about game one. But you would think, coming off of last night, look, the Browns get a big win on Thursday Night Football, and everything looks good for a day, and Odell Beckham has a good night, 4 catches, 74 yards and a touchdown. Well, we're not going to get any Odell Beckham on the trading block stories. Now, he's at least off the block for a week. Oh, no. ESPN's Diana Rossini reporting earlier today on ESPN that the Cleveland Browns are still open to trading Odell Beckham. A trade for him is not, quote, off the table. Now, you would say this doesn't make sense, right? He finally has a good game. The Browns have their offense rolling. But look at the Browns team we saw last night, right? We told you, who are they becoming? They are modeling themselves after the San Francisco 49ers. They have two running backs that they see, this is how we want to win games, with sledgehammering Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, and then throwing the football kind of when we have to, or as a supplement to our rushing attack. So it's not making Baker Mayfield into a game manager, but more like a Jimmy Garoppolo. Hey, some games he's got to throw for 300 so we can win, but most weeks we can sledgehammer at you with our rushing attack. This makes wide receivers and star wide receivers not nearly as important and prominent. And while things have been crappy with Odell, it's been a bad fit since he got there. He's never been able to get on the same page with Baker Mayfield. It makes sense to me that the trade rumors are still out there, and the Browns let it be known that, hey, you want to call us, we'd like to trade Odell. You have 10 days in between games. You have some time to get it done if you want to get something done. Plus, you're trading him coming off a good game. The Browns have to be saying, okay, let's do it, because when's the next time Odell's going to have a big game? This is not the offense that they thought it was going to be when they got him. They tried to jam it to him 10 times in week one. He only caught 3 passes. He caught 4 for 74 and 1. That's a good game for Odell. This is now, okay, his value is back up a little bit higher than it was. So let's trade him at a high point now. Odell's not going to be a focal point of the offense. He's going to be a very big complementary part. And as you know, that's not going to age well. He's not going to do well with that being the case. So here, and it's no surprise to me that the day after, all right, here we go. Yeah, the Browns want it to be known. We still like to move Odell, and you have teams that are desperate, like the Jets, the 49ers, the Eagles, some other teams saying, hey, all right, how expensive is it going to be? Boy, Odell played well, so maybe we get an extra draft pick or two, or you move up around in a draft pick that we get back if you're the Browns. So this doesn't surprise me at all, because you want to trade a guy when he's hot, and I don't know if Odell's going to get any hotter than he is right now.
No, you go, what, 4 on 6 targets, 74 yards and a touchdown, the big deep ball. Well, was it 42, 43 officially? And you look at the way this team can be set up. Well, look how effective they were with Baker Mayfield only throwing the ball 16 times. Run the ball, let that defensive front go to work, and hope that you can patch together a secondary that can compete with what Denzel Ward gives you energy-wise each game, because he was magnificent yesterday for all the success that Joe Burrow and company had. He was a one-man wrecking crew back there. And then you got Myles Garrett up front. So you play a little better defense. You run the ball effectively, use the swing pass, and the effectiveness of Kareem Hunt out of the backfield. Hooper, you're still integrating him into the offense. Got a couple of targets yesterday. Had one in the red zone, just one step too far. Otherwise, that's a touchdown. So I agree. I think you go and you look at the market. You hope that the Jets are somehow able to spring an upset on the 49ers because they always have a lot of draft capital laying around. Or you have a couple of these other teams. If New Orleans should struggle, right? Michael Thomas, no guarantee he's able to play this week or next week, no matter what reports come out of, look, he was feeling good on the practice field. Show me on Sunday that he's actually there, and I'll believe you. For now, I think it's all gamesmanship and lying to try to get some sort of competitive advantage against the opponent. So there's certainly some of these teams. We've got receiving cores that are absolutely dismal, and he would be a bright spot and at least perk things up a bit. So, yeah, why not explore what the return might be?
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Winding down at the bubble in Orlando, Lakers are going to beat the Nuggets and take a 1-0 lead in the NBA Finals. We'll break that down coming up in a few minutes. But time now for Mike and I to give you our upset special picks of the week in college football and the NFL. We do it every week here on the show. Normally we're pretty good. Last week I wasn't that great. I was 1-2. I was one missed field goal away from having a good week, but still 1-2 is 1-2. It's tough in college. Not a lot of games I like because, first of all, there's not a lot of games. You know, we have 19 games overall. We have seven games that are postponed. Really, the college football season kind of starts next week when the SEC gets involved. But I'll tell you, I'll go out on a limb and I'll take South Florida getting 27 against Notre Dame. Notre Dame did not look great against a bad Duke team. Notre Dame's home field advantage is not apparent when you're not worrying about the fans in there as well. So it's a big deal for certain teams to not have that home field advantage. South Florida, I don't know if they're any good. They played three quarterbacks last week when they played Citadel. It's like, hey, we know we're going to win this game, so we just don't want to put anything on tape that Notre Dame can gather. I know I'm taking a big chance. They took a big chance last week doing that. They won the game. They beat Citadel 27-6. It was not a great win for them, but South Florida getting 27, Notre Dame not looking great week one. It's a lot of points, so I'm going to go with South Florida.
I like the way the cut of your jib. For all the reasons you've given in the past couple of weeks, I'm going to piggyback on those. That Syracuse actually comes out and plays a game. They're only getting 6.
Oh, look at you,
that was
buddy.
The opening. They were getting 6 at the open. Now it's 21.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The fact that it's a 3-touchdown
Syracuse played a game
spread.
Last week. That's what happened. They actually played. Oh, wait a minute. We have to.
Well, the fact that you adjusted 2 touchdowns is interesting. And again, it goes back to there's not a lot on the slate. So I'll look for a better day from your squad. And look, all I'm doing is trying to beat the points. And if I can get an outright win, then God bless me. I stumbled upon and I must be living right. But yes, plus 21. Way too many points.
Now, I feel bad for you, buddy, because you have said nice things about my teams tonight, the Syracuse and the Jets.
And I didn't really mean to either.
I'm going to give you 2 upset specials, and one of them, sorry, buddy, but I'm going to take the Giants getting 6 over the Bears. Look, the Giants are better than week one. Pittsburgh is absolutely loaded. All right, defensively, they're going to wind up being the best defense in the NFL. We told you this on Monday night. Ben Roethlisberger is back. It's a last roundup type year for him. Their offense is so deep there. They have so many good wide receivers. And still, the Giants stayed close for a while. All right, Saquon Barkley is man-challenged by Tiki Barber this week. Chicago needed a great fourth quarter to beat Detroit. They still have issues, especially in pass coverage. Daniel Jones throws all over the Bears. I love the Giants getting 6. I see this as a field goal game, and 6 points is just too many. Jones has a big day throwing it, and the Giants cover.
Look at you. I like that in theory. It won't happen in practice. Bears, Mitchell Trubisky. It's Mitchell Trubisky part 2 against a pretty bad Giants defense. I'm going to look to the Falcons getting 4 on the road, going to Dallas. Obviously, there will be some fans in attendance at Jerry World. But they're banged up. You lose Jarwin. You lose Van Der Esch. Doesn't mean Dallas won't be able to move the ball. I expect there to be some points in this game. But I don't think they're going to have enough to stop the Atlanta offense when we're looking at Todd Gurley out of the backfield, moving well, got that touchdown in week one, and obviously those wide receivers. Yeah, it's garbage time statistics, but you know how strong Jones and Ridley are. Now add Russell Gage and Hayden Hurst to the mix. Way too many things for the Dallas defense to slow down. I'm counting on you, Matt Ryan. I don't I don't back you very often because you've let me down many, many times in your long history in the NFL. But I'm getting you here in week two.
Well, and I'm going to go to a team that's let me down many times in the past. No, not the Jets. I'm going to take the Raiders getting 7 over New Orleans, opening a new home, even though it's not going to be the traditional opening of a new home, with a really strong offense, because the Raiders offense, suddenly Jacobs is the same guy he was in year one. He is so good. Henry Ruggs looks like he can be a star. Drew Brees didn't look great at home week one. I'm going to take the Raiders on the field in this game, but I'm not going to turn away the points. I mean, clearly, I think the Raiders win this game because I don't know if the Saints are as good as they were a year ago. And clearly, Drew Brees, if it wasn't for the attention on Tom Brady, it would be, boy, Brees really didn't look that great either on Sunday. I think this is where you kind of see it. You wonder about the questions. I'll still take the points. The Raiders win on the field, but the Raiders getting 7.
I like the fact that you got the Drew Brees thing in, because I think we're the only ones to talk about it. Everybody else was too busy recycling their old Tom Brady takes to worry about what actually happened in the game that was played on Sunday, not to mention the spat or whatever you're calling it between Bruce Arians and Tom Brady in the press. Henry Ruggs didn't practice Friday, just an injury note for you fantasy players. Bryan Edwards might be the beneficiary of a few more targets, still more a desperation. Hey, I can get him for a dollar in my daily fantasy league kind of options for you as you roll. I'm going to go one more for you here as well, and I'm going to ride Gardner Minshew.
Nice.
Plus 7.5 on the road at Tennessee. DJ Chark, Chenault Jr. So you got a couple of guys in the passing game. Not you didn't see much of Tyler Eifert, and we'll leave all of his off the field stuff that people got mad about helmets to the side here. Looking at a multi-pronged backfield approach. And I just think 7.5 is too much because Minshew keeps coming at you. And I think he's there to make a big play and make the top picks of next year's draft very uncomfortable because they have a quarterback. They just need everything else.
The good news is you have a quarterback. What's the bad news? That's about all you have. Yeah, that's like when you take your car in to go, hey, the good news is what? The engine is fine. Oh, great. Well, what's the bad news? Oh, well, everything else. I mean, you got everything else. Your engine's okay, but there's so many other things that are wrong. Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. So there's our upset special picks this week in both college football and the National Football League. Buddy, I hope you're right with Syracuse because, listen, I'll take a cover at this point because winning, you know, I mean, really, that's
all I'm looking for. I'm calling on them to beat the spread and give me a puncher's chance at some chaos in the fourth quarter. That's it. That's all I'm looking for.
Don't miss Lowe's Just for Pros event through September 25th. Get in on innovative products from Itabo HPT and Spider through virtual demos and live chats. Plus, get deals in-store and on lowesforpros.com. That's lowesforpros.com, United States only. So it is in the books. I am feeling pretty good about my Lakers in 5. Mike's Nuggets, well, let's see.
Wow.
Especially if Scott Foster officiates all the games. I'm feeling really good. We break down game one of the West Finals. Do the Nuggets still have a shot in this series after a dominant Lakers win? That's coming up next. Keep it right here, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. Now, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, clutch client, getting into things. He's got 14 for the Lakers, a big three and a five-point swing. The Lakers push the lead over the Nuggets right now to 17. The Nuggets had got it to 10. They were whittling away at it, but now the Lakers lead it 86-69. They have still not been to the free throw line in the second half, which likely what happened at halftime was the referee said, "Scott, man, dude, stop blowing the whistle, man. All right, all right, all right. All right, we'll be cool for the third quarter, okay? We'll be cool for the third quarter. All right, we're fine. We're good. We're good. All right. I'll be cool. First half, I was a little crazy, but now we'll be cool in the third quarter." So
they got called for another moving screen.
Yeah.
And they quickly cut to the one shot of Coach Malone and the smile on his face. If you were to summarize this game right now, and look, LeBron James is being aggressive. I don't fault aggressiveness. I'm also just trying to see how long I can go after it before our executive producer for the night, Bo Benson, loses his mind, cracks his microphone, and starts screaming at me as a Lakers apologist. But Malone's look at that point, you should put that as the lead photo for any article you write as synopsis of this game. That says it all.
We'll have more on this coming up in a few minutes. But as we're in the beginning of another big weekend in the National Football League, and the second week for college football, college football's kind of limping along this weekend. They've had a lot of postponements. There's only a handful of games. But NFL week two, we are rolling right into it, and everything is terrific. And remember when I told you the other night that, well, I don't know that I would worry so much about Brady and Arians' relationship after Bruce Arians criticized Tom Brady publicly for his two interceptions week one and the loss to the Saints. But what's going to happen if things get really tough and the Buccaneers start out 1-3, 2-4, because Tom Brady has always been a front runner. He's never had to worry about stress in the regular season. Only twice have they ever started as bad as 1-2 in the last 20 years, the New England Patriots, right? But now it's new for him in Tampa Bay, and there's untold scrutiny on him. And maybe that's kind of getting to him a little bit. Here is the back and forth that Brady had during his interview session yesterday. And you can already tell that, well, maybe things aren't so sunshine, lollipops, and rainbows in Tampa Bay after losing week one.
Hey, Tom, there's been a lot of talk this week about Bruce Arians kind of being Bruce Arians and kind of being blunt in his criticism of you and specifically in the two interceptions. How is that for you? I think there's a perception that you haven't taken a lot of criticism from your coaches before. I don't think this is something that surprised you this week, is it?
So what's the question?
Just whether you were surprised at all to hear Bruce speaking publicly about the picks and being critical of you as he was.
He's a coach, so I'm a player. Just trying to win a game.
Oh, yeah, things are great. He's so happy. It's so great. It's like I never left New England. All of this, it's going to be a new time. It's going to be a new start, and I'm going to be happy playing football, and people are going to see how happy I am. I'm going to be skipping at practice and all of these things. And here after week one, already Brady bristling with the question about him being criticized by Bruce Arians. Look,
it would have been great if the guy would have actually asked a question.
Oh, yeah, it was a bad question because he asked 17 different questions. And Tom Brady used that to his advantage, saying, "So what's your question? You said like 17 different things there."
Well, you just issued a statement. It's like, you might as well just said, talk about it
for us a little bit. But the thing is that this to me, I've said this week, this has become the biggest thing with Brady is that if they can't front run, can he handle this kind of pressure? Because as much you would say, well, he's handled pressure before. Yeah, this is a 43-year-old Tom Brady trying to hold on to his spot as a starting quarterback in the National Football League and showing that he is still a star, that he can still be great. And if they get off to a poor start and he doesn't play well, how bad this thing could go south? I mean, I still think this is, look, they're too big to fail, right? The Tampa Bay, they have too much talent. They're too big to fail. But if they start out poorly, how is Brady going to handle this? Because he's never had to worry at all in the regular season ever about anything because he played in a division where everybody stunk. And they were always 3-0 or 4-0 and 4-1 and 6-1 and 7-2. And they never had to worry about anything. Now it's a new team with a clean slate. And what's going to happen if Brady's not leading them to the promised land right away? That's the big thing. Can he handle not being a front runner, and can he handle not having success in the regular season? Because he didn't have it last year, the first 8 games, but the team was still winning, so everything was okay. If he doesn't have it, the team is losing. That's a big deal.
I think what really struck me was the cadence in which he ended his response once he finally rolled to. Tyshirt, do we have that isolated? Those last couple of lines?
Give me one sec.
You know, where he really just came straight out of Notting Hill. I mean, it was a full-on Julia Roberts kind of moment.
I got it.
Okay, let's hear it again.
Is it all to hear Bruce speaking publicly about the picks and being critical of you as he was?
You know, he's a coach, so, you know, I'm a player just trying to win a game.
Just a girl standing in front of a boy asking him to love her.
More NFL and back to the Nuggets Lakers next, Fox.